Money, good man, helping me put this show on for each and every one of you every day. His name is Cardi. He's my producer. If you want to give us a call and join this conversation, 855-752-4842. So in North Carolina, the Democratic candidate for Supreme Court won the last Supreme Court election by 734 votes. That is out of 5.5 million votes cast, which, you know, is a tiny sliver of a percentage. It's like, I think it's like 1/100th of a percent of votes. In response, her Republican opposition in that election filed a petition with the state elections board to throw out 60,000 votes. Based on things like the fact that North Carolina state now requires your social security number. It may also require, let's see, their social security number or their driver's license number. Even though they already have photo ID. Weird. And people didn't, some of these ballots didn't have that information. So the question becomes, what's the remedy, right? If it they objectively don't have that information, is the remedy to throw out the vote? By the way, many of these people voted for years and years with their IDs in North Carolina. The other one of the other challenges he raised were the votes of citizens living overseas who never lived in North Carolina, but whose parents are state residents. And a state law passed more than 10 years ago allows those overseas citizens to vote. All of this, of course, is one of those things where, why didn't you raise these issues and ask courts to clarify this before the election so that people would know what the possible consequences are? Okay, so the state elections board, he filed this challenge, throw out 60,000 ballots right after the election. The state elections board on a party line vote voted 3-2 to reject those challenges. He then filed in state court and asked the state Supreme Court to step in and enjoin the state elections board from certifying the election results. This gets a little scary because remember, in a lot of states, Wisconsin was one of them, where if you don't meet these state statutory deadlines for certification, especially of a presidential election, it can then lead to avenues or openings for people, you know, I don't know, come up with a fake slate of electors, that kind of a thing. Now, this is a state race within a state. So that, you know, those sorts of implications aren't relevant here. But again, think big picture. This is very important. So as he is pursuing this appeal of the state elections board decision, he gets this injunction from the state Supreme Court. His opponent tries to challenge that and remove the case from state court into federal court, saying that federal constitutional issues are primary and therefore the federal court should take jurisdiction. All of this is happening at the same time. A federal trial court judge weighed in last week and said, no, this should not be removed. I'm going to return this back down to state court because I think the state constitutional issues are actually more important. And fairly long, very technical decision from that federal court judge. So then it's back down in state court and this injunction issues. So that's kind of where we're at. That injunction is then challenged in state court by his challenger, as well as the district court, the federal trial court judge's decision to not permit the case to go forward in federal court is also appealed to the federal appeals court. So if you just lost track of what all that technical stuff was, I don't blame you. It is mightily hard to follow. Here's what the bottom line is. At the same time, in both state court and federal court, a lot of the same issues are being argued about the same fundamental case. So in state court, okay, they have required the parties to submit, the challenging party to submit a brief by January 14th. The elections board has to respond by January 21st. And then there's another response. So all of this is happening throughout January. That's the state Supreme Court. Okay, state court, file a brief about who's right and who's wrong as to why or whether these ballots should be thrown out or not. Schedule. They're arguing about court system. Those at nearly the exact same time. This, my friends, is what I'm going to call chaos. This is not good. This is not good for North Carolina. It's not good for our trust in the rule of law. It's not good for our trust in voting systems. It's bad for all of us. I don't care what your politics are. There should be very, very expeditious, fast resolution of these kinds of cases. And to be very honest with you, the idea that we would entertain throwing out tens of thousands of ballots from citizens, their citizenship is not being questioned in these cases, from citizens that were validly cast, is ridiculous. Should we not be entertaining some sort of state and federal set of laws that basically say any sort of requirement that you believe could be used as a basis to throw out a ballot, you are required to raise that issue at least 90 days or more before the election. You get where I'm going with this, right? So that like everyone would know, what are the rules that if I forget to cross my T or dot my I, my ballot might not count. Whatever that time period is, maybe it needs to be 120 days before the election. If you don't raise those challenges, then you don't get to do so after the game has been played. Because at the end of the day, what this is trying to change the rules or the impact of the enforcement of the rules after the game has been played. And that is not fair to any voter. And it shouldn't matter which candidate happens to win as to which voters get their rights taken away from them after the election. That is not a good outcome. Let's take a couple callers, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Hi, CJ. Let's take, I want to ask you a really baseline question that I hope takes it out of some of the partisan wrangling. Would it be fair, CJ, for you and I to agree that whatever the rules are about ensuring that your ballot is counted, right? Like whatever would disqualify a ballot from counting and whatever makes sure it gets counted, that we should all know that information before an election. Do you think that's fair, that that's a good approach?
Well, certainly. I do think there's a difference between a recount and an audit. And
well, no, we're talking about neither here. So the case in North Carolina.
You're talking about the 60,000.
Yeah, that's so just to be clear, CJ, they have been counted. There's no question about the count. What they're trying to do now is say these 60,000, even though we've counted them correctly, that's what a recount is about. It's like, did we get the numbers right? Even though the numbers have been calculated correctly, they're saying, even though those have been counted correctly, we should throw them out. That's a different argument. Does that make sense to you?
There's a difference, though. Maybe he won't respond to my statement.
I just did, CJ. I'm just trying to say this isn't about the number of ballots cast. This is about whether to throw out ballots.
That's what I'm talking about in any case. You're talking about should you know the rules. Well, I'm saying...
Right. So, CJ, I just want to try this one more time with you. And I know you get frustrated, but I want to keep us really narrowly focused because this is really important. If you and I agree that we should know the rules ahead of the election about if you don't include your zip code, your ballot will not be counted. That if that is the law, it should say that clearly. And if that is not the law, then even if there are technical infirmities, that's not what the law says.
That's
it says you shall. No.
That...
So this is actually like, this is important, CJ. That is not what the state law says. I've read it because if the state law said that, it would be clear, right? That the penalty for failing to include your zip code or whatever it is, or your social security number is that your ballot doesn't count. It doesn't say that. And that's important. Why should we allow otherwise completely validly cast? CJ, I have read the law. It doesn't say that those ballots should not be counted.
The point is that's what makes a vote legal. And if it's following the law, if it's not followed, that vote should be tossed.
Then why don't we require the law to say that if that's the legislative intent? In other words, there are all kinds of different technical requirements and nearly every set of state laws, including North Carolina's, that says even if you have technical violations of these laws, if the voter intent is clear and they are a citizen and otherwise validly entitled to cast their ballot, it shall count. In other words, the laws build in as their policy that we're actually not supposed to take these technical violations and use that after an election to throw out votes. And the federal constitution doesn't allow significant burdens on a citizen's right to vote. That's sort of the rub of this. So my solution that I'm offering to you, CJ, is why don't we just say, if you want something to trigger throwing out a ballot, the law has to say that. And if it doesn't, you have to sue before the election. Wouldn't that resolve the very argument that you and I are having?
Well, first off, I'm glad to hear you're finally for voter ID, because you and your party's been fighting it for decades.
CJ, there you go, changing the topic. But I'm just making a political observation about voter ID. I'm just saying that ship has sailed. But today, wouldn't what I just suggested resolve this very argument between you and I?
I think when someone fills out a ballot, it sure, first off, should have a pretty good reason to be an absentee ballot. There should be more restrictions. And kind of what we saw on the Wisconsin, you're all for the Wisconsin, to have it go to the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, because now the liberals or the left controls it. And all voting laws are supposed to go through the legislature. But
we're not talking about original jurisdiction, CJ. I'm just saying that if the argument continues to be, whether in Wisconsin or North Carolina, that if you don't have your zip code or you forget to add your city, and someone's going to say you throw out that ballot because they don't have that little bit of technical information, even though there's no question that they're a citizen and have a right to vote in the election, if those technical requirements are going to trigger throwing out a ballot, shouldn't the law either A, say so explicitly, or you have to sue to clarify that before the election? Doesn't that just make good common sense, CJ?
Well, I'm agreeing with you. You should know how to fill out a ballot.
I think he said he agrees with me. I'll just take it and run with it. I hope you all get my point that if we're going to start throwing out ballots, the law better be unequivocally clear that your ballot will be thrown out if you don't have your zip code on your ballot or on your absentee form. And two, if the law isn't that clear, then you better sue before the election. Otherwise, you're changing the rules of the game after the game has been played. We'll be right back. Take more of your thoughts and calls at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment. Which means a lot to me, 'cause good men are hard to find.